but we are moving into the movement of our series on gifts. And when I think of gifts, I think of these, you know, certain holidays where we receive gifts. We give and receive gifts on our birthdays often. And then, of course, that's one of our traditions on Christmas, is to give and receive gifts. And so that's what I think about. And these last couple of years, I have gotten to have a different perspective on Christmas gifts. Having kids, start to kind of see through my parents' eyes, because I remember being the kid, you know, and I kind of like take my clock and set it a little ahead, because, you know, your parents, you parents, you know this, right? So you can't come down until a certain time, right? Like, at least give me until, you know, 7 o'clock or something like that. So I would, you know, kind of set my clock ahead a little bit. I'd be like, hey, my clock says 7 o'clock, you know, when I got downstairs. And so I'd be so excited. We'd unwrap the gifts, and I just have enjoyed seeing kind of the glimmer in their eyes as they see their, you know, see all the gifts around the tree and then start to open them and tear open the wrapping paper. And that's just a really cool experience, no matter which side of the gifts you're on, right? But sometimes we sanitize our memories a little bit. I remember what happened after the gifts were opened. I had a brother who was about 4 years younger than me. And, you know, maybe 5 minutes after all the gifts had been opened and we were tugging on the new toys and arguing over who got to play with what first, and, you know, well into the new year, you know, there would be these altercations about whose gift was whose and who got to play with it when, and all of these. Was this just my house where this happened? Like, gifts can go awry, right? And so, you know, we have to kind of not just focus on the gift, but focus on what it's for. Kind of get back to that spirit that is joyful to receive the gift and receives it as a gift before it becomes mine to do with whatever I want to do. That spirit of receiving the gift and understanding why it was given. This series so far, we've seen how important it is to put our lives into God's hands. We've seen how God can take our story and turn it into a ministry. And it's really only God who can do that. Because our stories can become a lot of things. They can become something that's really paralyzing to us, especially hard experiences that we've had, and we can become traumatized by them. And we need God to take those hard things and turn them into a ministry, something that we can actually embrace and pass on to others. We saw how God gives us these passions, but sometimes our passions can become selfish, right? And so we need to put our passions into God's hands and allow Him to fashion them into a purpose. And today we're acknowledging that God gives us gifts, but we need to put our gifts into God's hands and see how God turns our gifts into others' good and God's glory. That's what God does with our gifts. He uses them for His glory and for the good of others. And so we're going to look more specifically at our individual gifts next week. But this week I want to focus on kind of the whole spirit around our gifts that God has given us. How do we receive them? How do we use them? And we're going to call that, that's what I just said. We're going to call that gift wrapping. The wrapping, what surrounds the gifts that God gives us. And I think the story of Moses, which has been really helpful to me, and I hope to you, throughout the series, really helps us to see the wrapping around the gifts that God gives us. So we're picking up Moses' story at the burning bush. You know, Moses is a shepherd. He's a refugee in Midian, and he becomes a shepherd and is watching sheep. And Moses sees this bush, and it's burning, but it's not burning, and so it's kind of a curious thing. And God speaks to Moses, and he says, "Moses, Moses," and then he says, "Come no closer. Remove your sandals, for the ground you're standing on is holy." And then he says, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. As you can imagine, this great voice coming from this burning bush is not, you know, your average everyday experience. But then God shares with Moses kind of some insight into why he's there. Why is this bush burning? What is God doing? He says this, I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey. We've looked at that verse earlier in the series, but I want to emphasize this. I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians. I will bring them up out of the land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So the first thing that we need to see as God calls Moses is that it's about, first and foremost, God's work, not ours. So when we're thinking about our gifts, first thing we need to understand is that it's not really about what we want to do with them. Right? We prayed earlier, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? So that's the first thing that Moses needs to understand here, that God's going to do some great things through him. And he says, I am going to come now. I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses is very clear on this. God is very clear on this to Moses in the first place, that it is God's work that's going to be done here. Okay, so that's number one as we think about our gifts. Now, Moses kind of gets that, but then, of course, he's a little nervous. Who am I? Who am I? Now, that's a good question we just sang about. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God says, I will be with you. I will be with you. So second thing we need to recognize is that it's not only God's work, but it's God's presence that is going to turn our gifts into something that can be effective and powerful and redeeming in the world. I will go with you. He doesn't say, you know, go do it on yourself. I've given you everything you need. Go do it. No, that's not what he says. He says, I will go with you. God's presence is paramount when we are thinking about using our gifts for God's purposes. And then he makes a promise. So God's promise is, I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain. And so God says, here's the work I'm doing. I'm going to go with you, and here's my promise to you. And the scripture is filled with promises because God wants us to trust him. And more than that, God wants us to know on the other side that it was God who did it, right? Because sometimes we ask for something and we're like, okay, maybe this can happen. And then it happens and we're excited about it and we forget to thank God for it. All of a sudden we think, oh yeah, look what I did. And we forget that it was God's work. It was God's presence that went with us. So God makes us these promises so that we know that it was God's work and God's presence that was making it happen all along. So God's promise is there. And then we get to kind of the gift part. We get to the Moses part of it. Moses answered in chapter 4, but suppose they do not believe me or listen to me, but say the Lord did not appear from you. And Moses is going to get this not only from Pharaoh. Moses is going to get this from the Hebrew people, the Israelites. They're not going to believe him either. So Moses is rightly concerned. Wait, you know, I'm just going to be this kind of crazy guy who comes out and says, oh yeah, the Lord said something to me. And they're going to be like, wait, what is this? And so God says, what's in your hand? Love that question. Don't you love when God just like comes up with these great questions? What's in your hand? And here's where we get to the gift part. Because what's in Moses' hand? It's a staff. It's this stick of wood, right? So this is not much, okay? But what we're going to see is how God uses this staff to do some phenomenal things. So when we're talking about gifts, we need to recognize what God has given us, but we also need to recognize, again, that God can do amazing things no matter what we have to offer. Sometimes we don't even see God's gifts for what they are. I don't have anything. I don't have any gifts. I don't have anything I can. But Moses had a stick of wood in his hand. Now let's just go through the story and see what God does with that stick. The first thing God does is to kind of show Moses he knows what he's talking about. He turns it into the snake, right? He says, Moses, throw it on the ground. It turns into a snake, and Moses freaks out. He's like, well, you didn't have to show me quite that way, right? There maybe could have been other ways. Turns it back into a staff. Well, you know what? God repeats that. When Moses goes up to the Pharaoh, and Pharaoh says, well, who are you? Moses throws the staff on the ground. It becomes a snake and kind of gets Pharaoh's attention, right? And then later on in that altercation, in Exodus 7, God tells Moses, put your staff, what was in his hand, into the river and turns the Nile into blood through this staff. And then in Exodus 8 through 10, when God is bringing the 10 plagues on Egypt, it's usually either Aaron's staff or Moses' staff that he tells them to raise so that this next plague will come and remind Pharaoh, wait a second, you're not the king, God is king. So they raise the staff to do it. What happens in Exodus 14? Boom. You guys remember that image, right? A little Charlton Heston action going on there. Can't talk too long about Moses. What's in his hand? He says, lift up your staff, lift up your arms and your staff. And what happens? The Red Sea parts. Right, the Egyptian army is coming. They don't know what they're going to do. What do we have? What gifts has God given us now? Well, you still got a staff. Lift it up. God's presence is with you. God is doing a great work. God is fulfilling his promise. Lift up your staff, and the Red Sea parts. In Exodus 17, when the Israelites are wandering through the desert, and they're a little thirsty, and they're complaining, God, yeah, you did all these things, but we're thirsty. So what does God tell Moses to do? Hit the rock. Hit a rock. Come on. With your staff. And water comes gushing out. And then there's this, they're coming into the land, and there's this group of people called the Amalekites, and who aren't very welcoming to these wandering Hebrews. And Moses is tired. He's getting old. And so what happens is he stands on a hill, and God says, lift up your arms. Lift up your staff. With your arms in it. And Moses is so tired and old that he has to have two other people hold up his arms for him with his staff in them. And as long as his arms are up, the Israelites are victorious, are triumphing in the battle. What's in your hand? What's in your hand? What do you have? What has God given you? From something as lowly as a staff to maybe some great talent or ability or skill, what is in your hand? And how might God be using that to bring others good, for others good and for his glory? What's in your hand? And that's our last wrapping. It's not about, our gifts are not to make us out to be these great heroes. You know, when I was in school, you had the gifted class, and you know, you might be a little nerdy if you were in the gifted class, but you wanted to be in the gifted class, right? Because that was something that you had. That's not what God's gifts are about. They're about bringing him glory. The Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand, seize it by the tail, and so the snake turns back into a staff, and then he says, so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. The staff and all these things that God is doing through this staff are going to be for God's glory. Moses goes down in history okay too. But this is about God. And your gifts are about God and his glory. So, let's think about God's gifts to us now. We've looked at Moses' story, and I hope you've seen how important it is not just to focus on the gifts, but why and how God gives us these gifts and wants us to use them. And so let's talk a little bit more about gifts for us. And I think it's important to kind of define and distinguish what we're talking about here. I am using gifts today broadly, very broadly. I'm using them to include a number of things. I'm using the term gifts today to include spiritual gifts. There are four passages in the New Testament, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4. Hey, guys. 1 Peter 4. There's these four passages in the New Testament that talk very specifically about spiritual gifts. These are gifts that God says, by the Holy Spirit, I have endowed all of my people with these gifts, or some of these gifts, or one of these gifts. So they're spiritual gifts. Second, when I use the word gifts this morning, I'm talking about natural abilities. So, you know, there are things that you just have a natural inclination for, right? So some of you might be natural, have a natural ability to sing. Or you might be natural athletes. Or you might be really good at, you know, picking up languages. Or, you know, something like that. You have natural abilities. Not if you think you have some natural abilities. Can I just see some nods? It's from God, remember. This isn't, you know, don't be so humble that you're taking glory away from God by saying you don't have any of these. God has given them to you. All right? So there's natural abilities, and then there's acquired skills. Now, these might connect with your natural abilities, right? So LeBron James, you know, naturally has had some natural basketball ability. I'm quite sure. He's just a gifted athlete in a lot of ways. But LeBron James has also spent hours and hours and hours in the gym developing those gifts and acquiring different skills. LeBron James wasn't born able to slam dunk or shoot a three-pointer or any of these things, right? He had to develop those. There are also acquired skills that might be beyond that. You just might have to learn these things at some point. You know, mechanical skills, fishing, horticulture. You know, there's lots of different types of skills that you can develop. And we have to remember that God has given you the opportunity to acquire those skills, to pick those things up. And then last, what we're talking about is resources. When we talk about gifts, we're also talking about resources. So these could be material resources. These could be intellectual or knowledge resources. These could be networks of people you have. This could be power or privilege that you have through no accomplishment of your own. You were just born into a place of privilege or power. These are all God's gifts to us. That's how I'm using the term, at least today. So, do all of you have some of those? Maybe? Can you see how you might have some of these spiritual gifts, natural abilities, acquired skills, resources? Okay, I hope so. Now about the how. Because there's two categories in the New Testament. In the New Testament, there are spiritual gifts and there's spiritual fruit, or the fruit of the Spirit. We need to distinguish these. Okay, so the spiritual gifts that we've talked about is, you know, we could talk about prophecy or leadership or shepherding or any of these kinds of things. Well, I have a sheet for you to look at as you go that has a whole listing of these, what these spiritual gifts are in the New Testament. But there's also spiritual fruit, all right, and that's in Galatians 5. And the spiritual fruit is not not a natural ability or gift. It's how you're supposed to use that gift. Okay, so the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, self-control. These are the fruits of the Spirit. And these are not something you're like, oh, well, I have the gift of joy, but I don't have the gift of peace. So I'm just going to, you know, wreak havoc with my gifts, okay? These are all character traits that the Spirit develops in you. These are for everyone. Every Christian needs to develop their spiritual, the fruits of the Spirit, by the power of the Spirit working in them. And that should guide how we use our gifts. If I have the gift of prophecy or leadership, I should be using those gifts in a spirit of love, in a spirit of peace, and self-control, and so on. All right, make sense? Good? Awesome. And then lastly, the last distinction I think I want to make is spiritual gifts and discipleship mandates. So here's what I mean by that. You may or may not have the spiritual gift of evangelism. You know, for some people, they just start talking about Jesus and people just like are like, yeah, I want that. I want to follow that. I want to come to your church. I want to become a Christian. I want to whatever. Some people, it just happens. I've seen people like this who have the spiritual gift of evangelism. You might not have the spiritual gift of evangelism, but it doesn't mean that you don't talk to other people about Jesus, that you don't share the gospel. Okay? Jesus said to everyone, make disciples of all nations. So that's a discipleship mandate. So whether you have that gift or not, it's a calling for you and for me as a Christian. Some people have the spiritual gift of service, of helping other people. That doesn't mean if you don't have that gift that you don't serve and help other people, right? Does this make sense? Does this distinction make sense? Okay, so there's a difference there. But let's remember, God has given every one of you gifts, spiritual gifts. He's given every one of you abilities. He's given every one of you resources. And so what we're going to do over the next couple of weeks is explore those. I'm going to have these out in the back. I'll hand out one per household. You can just start kind of perusing those over the coming week and see. On the front side is spiritual gifts in the New Testament. All of you have at least one of those. And then on the back are just a sampling of God-given abilities or acquired skills that you might have developed. So just look through those this week and say, I wonder what those are for me. Maybe you have a pretty good idea. And then next week we're going to zero in more on those. But again, the key today is that all of your gifts, all of your resources, all of your abilities are to be presented to God. As Paul writes, present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members, your resources to God as instruments for righteousness to accomplish some of those things that God desires through you. I thought more than me just keeping talking about it, we might just kind of shine a spotlight on some people who are doing it. So I'm going to ask Lori to come up now. And you have these beautiful dresses in front of you. And she's going to tell you how some of the gifts... Do we have a handheld mic somewhere? Somewhere? How the gifts of many of you are going to be used to bless other people. So Kevin's bringing out the handheld mic. Sorry, I didn't prepare Kevin for that, so my bad. Thank you.
So a group of about 12, 13 ladies got together yesterday. In those 12 or 13 ladies, there were a few who had a natural ability to sew. There were a couple that had the acquired skill to sew, had learned to do that. But the majority were helpers. They came willing to help and make this project come together. We worked from noon until about 3:30, and we were able to put together with the sewers and with the those that pinned and those that ironed and those that thread the elastic through the top of the dresses. 35 dresses. We completed 35 dresses. And we have 15 more that are so close to being done, they'll be done this week. That averaged a dress every 18 minutes, I calculated, right? my goal was 60 dresses. We got 50 done. We have 50 done. We couldn't have done it one person. We did it together, putting all of our talents and the willingness to use our hands as God wanted us to do. And as a team, put that together. These dresses are now going, they're going to be packed up and they're going to be sent to Africa with a woman who is a Toledoan working on her medical degree and who goes over with a team every other year. And they will distribute these dresses. In addition, we had such fun doing that. Cliff and Cindy Trudeau and I are going to Vietnam with the Dove Foundation in January, and we want to take some more with us. So we're going to have another day like this. Now that we know what we're doing and how to do it, we think we can do it even faster. We even had a teenager with us, a 15-year-old, who was putting lace on things, and some of the rickrack that was shared by some of you will be added to these before we we send them off. So I want to thank, and Nancy couldn't come yesterday, but she provided us with a wonderful brunch to fortify our bodies so that we had the strength to do the sewing. It was a wonderful accumulation of talent and a willingness to work and to share in God's kingdom.
Thanks. Yeah, so you see how our gifts are being used for others' good, to bless others. I want pictures of some of these African children who are going to be running around in these dresses. That's, like, so cool. I hope I'm not embarrassing you, Leslie, but I talked to Leslie before, and she's like, I was the ironer. And if you look at, I think if you look at 1 Corinthians 12 in that list in the Greek, ironing is a spiritual gift. So you're good. You're good on that one. But yeah, different gifts come together to do something really cool to glorify God and to work for the good of others. We also wanted this morning, for a few weeks now, we've had the doors open for you guys to all enjoy the lounge. And I just wanted to acknowledge a couple of the people in particular who just put their gifts to work on that. And so I just want to recognize Susan. If you could just come up here. Yeah, sorry. So, yeah, can we just, like, give God thanks for Susan and her gifts? And I was talking to Susan last week, I think, and she just said, you know, this wasn't work for me. This was, like, my gift. This was me using my gifts, my abilities. And so I know I'm going to leave people out, but I know Diane also used gifts. And we have some of Jimmy Rito's glass in there now, speaking of gifts. And Cliff did a lot of the electrical stuff. So talk about natural abilities and acquired skills. So I just, I'm thankful for everyone. And I think we can agree that, like, it looks amazing in there. It looks really awesome. And so again, I do think, as people, you know, we had Maynard's funeral service last week, and we were able to have the casket in there and have some refreshments there also between while others were going to the cemetery. And it was just a beautiful space for that, a beautiful room for that. And it's already been a blessing to others. So again, using our gifts for the good of others and for God's glory. So many more examples. And I was just thinking of people in my life and my family. I'm like, I have a lot of great examples in my family of people using their gifts for the good of others and for God's glory. And I know you do too. That's inspiring to us, right? To see people doing that. Even to hear about the, you know, trip to Vietnam with the Dove Foundation and Tom and Therese and everyone. People using their gifts for God's glory and for the good of others. You know, sometimes in community, in a family, in a church, in a business even, there are things that just need to be done, right? And it's time to just sacrifice and do it. I may not be good at it. I may not like doing it, but it just got to be done. I don't like cleaning the toilets. It's got to be done in my house, right? Not a spiritual gift of mine. And there are a lot of people in this church I know who do that over and over again. They see what needs to be done, and they do it because it needs to be done. And that is honoring to God in its own way. God wants us to be ready to do whatever we can possibly do to bring the good news of Jesus into the world and to bless the community. But God also gave us gifts and abilities for a reason. A community where everyone is just doing what needs to be done because it has to be done for days and weeks and months and years on end is not a good, healthy, joyful community. We need to own our gifts, to say, this is what God has given me, and I want to use it for His glory and for the good of others. God wants us to receive our gifts with gratitude and prayerfully discern why God has given them to us, so that others can be blessed, so that God can be glorified. Amen? Let's pray. Almighty and gracious God, and generous God, God, you have given us so many gifts. Forgive us for not even being aware of so many of them, for taking them for granted. Open our eyes to what you have put in our hand, as small or as great as it may be, that we might offer to you and see how you want us to use it for your glory and for the good of others. We ask it all in Jesus' name, your greatest gift to us. Amen.